Morning of today's Daf Nida Zayin. We're on the Vavam base. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Meisleis, Tumas Meisleis of Anida has been the topic of discussion since the beginning of the Masechta. That means now that this is a full week of the Gemara discussing Tumas Meisleis. A woman's Anida when blood leaves her uterus and enters into the canal. After entering into the canal, it's going to exit the canal and leave her body. Is that a moment? Is that instantaneous? So that small little question has become the backbone, the basis of the first week of our Masechta. So Shammai is of the opinion, Dayashaitan, that it happens immediately, and so therefore, when she sees the blood coming out of her, we're not going to be concerned whatsoever that the blood was there for some time, and so therefore, her Tumas Nida is going to start now, and not retroactively, and we're not going to move it back at all. Hillel's of the position that we have to be Choshish, we are concerned that the Dam was there historically, in the canal, and as a result of that, she is going to be in need to going back when? For the last time she did an internal examination. And then there's the sheet of the Chachamim. So that's Hillel, that's Shammai. And the sheet of the Chachamim is that we are going to go back, but we're only going to go back 24 hours. This is what's called Tumas Meisleis. So that means retroactive of her actually seeing the blood coming out of her. So retroactive 24 hours. The last 24 hours, the Chachamim gave her a status of a Nida. That means anything she came into contact with in the last 24 hours is going to be tummy. What we've discussed yesterday, and we're going to continue to discuss today, is the scope of this tumma. Exactly to what degree of tumas nida is she? So, yesterday we concluded, the Gemara was very clear about its conclusion, that in terms of degree of tumma, it's going to be given the full status of a tumas nida. Meaning, what is the full status of a tumas nida? Aside from the fact that she's an avatumma, but on top of that, also mishkav v'moshav. Anything she sits on, anything she lies down on, that was built for sitting and lying down on, chairs, beds. So the halacha is that they are going to be tummy to the same degree of tumma that she is. And that's going to be true also with the meisleis. Even though the meisleis is a din de rabbanan, we're going to see the language as clear as day in today's daf. Today's daf is going to be super clear that the chachamim's 24 hours is a din de rabbanan. But even within the din de rabbanan of meisleis, she is going to be tummy mishka v'moshav. Somebody coming into contact with the bed or the chair that she slept in or sat in the last 24 hours is going to be tamei, meaning that bed is going to be an avatoma like she was. Again, midrabanan, but it's going to be an avatoma. Somebody touches it is going to be tamei. Okay, that is one conclusion that we saw yesterday. The discussion that we saw yesterday, a lengthy discussion, was a statement of Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that it's true that Tumah Meisleis is a din d'rabbanan, and it's true that it's going to be tummy to the degree of a nida herself, but it's only going to affect Kachim, it's not going to affect Shruma. The Chachamim Zera was only on Kachim for the past 24 hours, but not on Shruma. Why that should be? So Rav Huna doesn't give a Svara. I suggested a Svara yesterday in terms of the Chachamim's interest in protecting Shruma. And whatever the svara is, it's important, obviously. But whatever the svara is, that was a statement of Rav Huna. It was a statement of Rav Huna, and the Gemara spent a lot of time trying to defend that statement. With that stated, we are now on the Lishna Achrina. Lishna Achrina on Vav Amud Beis. We are now going to go over a second version of Rav Huna. The second version of Rav Huna is going to go in the other direction. Lishna Achrina Amri La Amar Rav Huna Meis Leis Shebenida. The 24 retroactive hours of a nida, metame ben kosh ben lechuma. It's going to be metame kodesh and truma. Me mai. Now, how do I know that? I mean, what proof, what evidence do I have that this is in fact so? Medelokatan I got me malos. So you remember yesterday's daf? We asked the question here. We're not asking the question. We're using it as a proof. The Mishnayos and Chagiga. The Mishnayos and Chagiga go through differences and stringencies that you have by kachim over that of truma. Kodesh, of course, has more kedusha than that of Truma, but the Mishnayos and Chagiga go through 11 differences where you have chomers by kachim than that of Truma. Now, you know what's not one of the 11 differences mentioned over there in the Mishnayos and Chagiga? The difference of Tumah Me'eslais. It's not one of the 11. So, by virtue of the fact that it's not there in the Mishnayos and Chagiga, it is very good evidence that it is not a difference, meaning they're on the same footing with one another. And just like the 24 retroactive hours of Anida are going to be Metame Kachim, it's also going to be Metame Truma as well. Amalei Rav Nachman Vahatani L'Kodesh Avalul Truma. Now, we do have a brace, and the brace says Kodesh, not Truma. Oh, okay, fine. That obviously becomes a problem. The brace says very clearly that there's a difference. So, Kibli Minei Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak B'chulin Shenasu Ataras Kodesh V'lo B'chulin Shenasu Ataras Truma. So the Gemara says like this. If we're talking about Mamish Truma and Mamish Kodesh, so there is no difference. And the Gemara is going to support this this position and defend Rav Huna. When the Braisa said there is a difference, the Braisa was talking about Chulin. Now, if it's Chulin, it's not Truma. If it's Chulin, it's not Kodesh. So what are we talking about? So if you remember, we've discussed this many times whenever discussing Tumah Tahara, and that is the people who want to train themselves. People who are in training to eat Kodesh. People who are in training to eat Truma. We know this to be so. Habits are created by repeated behaviors. And so how do I start a good habit? By repeating a good behavior. And how do I start a bad habit? By repeating a bad behavior. So in terms of a Kohen who wants to be in the state where he's going to be used to eating Truma. So what does he accept upon himself? He accepts upon himself that not only the Truma that he's going to eat, he's going to treat like Truma. He doesn't have to treat it like Truma. It is Truma. But even the Chulin that he eats, he's going to be treating like Truma. This is what's called Chulin Shanasa Al Taras Truma. Also, somebody knows, so a Kohen's going to the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't have to be a Kohen. You and I are going to the Beis HaMikdash, and we just want to get into the habit of eating kachim, so we accept upon ourselves that even the chulin that we're going to eat, that we eat, are going to be subject to all the kachim stringencies, and this is what's called chulin shenasu al taras ha kodesh. Fine. So over here, the distinction that the Braisa was making was not regarding actual truma, actual kachim. What the Braisa was making a distinction was the difference between chulin shenasu al taras ha kodesh versus chulin shenasu al taras truma. Since this is only truma for training purposes, it's not real truma, and it's kachim for training purposes, it's not real kachim, so therefore a distinction is to be made. The me'es la'es is going to be matame the kodesh, right, the practice kodesh, let's call it practice kodesh, chulin shenasa taras kodesh, but it's not going to be matame the practice truma. Okay, that's where the Gemara lands right now, and we have now defended Rav Huna in his second version. Where we land right now is, after yesterday's daf and today's daf, two versions of Rav Huna, is a nida me'es la'es, a 24 retroactive hours of the nida. Is she going to be matami kachim, davar pashut, right, davar muskam, everyone agrees. Is she also going to be matami truma as well? So it's a machlokis. It's two versions of Rav Huna. Version number one, no. Version number two, yes. We continue in the Gemara. Tanan Hassan with the Gemara is going to teach us a Mishnah in Challah. Mishnah in Challah is going to be describing a scenario in which the Challah becomes Tameh. Not only the Challah becomes Tameh, but the dough becomes Tameh. Everyone understand that whenever you make dough, so a portion of the dough has to be given to the Kohen. It's called the Challah. We confuse ourselves. I'm not sure if we love doing it, but we confuse ourselves because the bread that we eat on Shabbos we call Challah. So, but strictly speaking, halachically speaking, it's not Challah. It's what we call it, challah. Challah is the portion that we take off of a dough to give to the Kohen. We give the challah to the Kohen. The challah has the same status as truma. It can only be eaten by Kohanim. It can't be eaten by non-Kohanim. It has to be in a state of tahara. It cannot be tameh. If it becomes tameh, the Kohen does not eat it. Even if it's a suffix truma, the Kohen cannot eat it. We know that we are charged with safeguarding the sanctity of challah. So that means to say that we have a mitzvah of what's called shmira, and we have to make sure that challah is tahor, remains tahor. Even if it's suffik tuma, we still have a mitzvah of shmira. We still have to make sure that it doesn't become vade tame. Mm-hmm. I know that part is a little bit strange, meaning as a suffik, you're not allowed to eat it. Still, there's a mitzvah of shmira, even as a suffik. If you want to see more on that point, the source of that point, you can look at the last Rashi. I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside right now, but Rashi makes that point very clear. With all that stated, now let's take a look at the Mishnah in Challah. No lad lo safek tuma. Let's say there is a safek tuma that occurred to the Challah. Now, safek tuma, exactly when did it happen? Ashlo gilgalat ha'asa b'tuma. So if it's before the dough was actually made, meaning if we're talking just about the flour becoming tamei, before it got mixed in with water. Another really important point in order to understand this Mishnah. The mitzvah of Challah only begins when flour and water are mixed together. When flour and water are mixed together, then the mitzvah of challah begins. Prior to that, there is simply no mitzvah of challah. Flour by itself, it's not tevel. It is not tevel l'challah. It's just simply flour. It's regular flour. only when the flour and water get mixed together, then and only then is there a chiyuv of hafrashas challah. The Mishnah says, ashlo gilgalatasa betumah. So, in scenario number one of the Mishnah, the flour and water didn't come together yet. So now the flour is tameh. So there is no problem of making it even more tameh, making it vaday tameh. Isn't there a mitzvah of shmira? Sure. But that's only once the chiyuv has begun. Chiyuv hasn't even begun yet. The Mishnah, Mishnah Gilgalam, Mishnah talks about a scenario where it becomes safik tumah after the water and flour are mixed together, so tasa b'tahara. So then you got to make it in a state of tahara. Make it in a state of tahara, that's strange, but it shouldn't be after my short introduction. Meaning, even though it's a safik tumah, and even though Cohen can't eat it, but it's not vadei tumah, and there's a mitzvah of shmira, even on the safik. So even though it's a safik tumah, but because the safik tumah occurred after the flour and water got mixed together, and now there's a chiyuv of hafrashas challah, so now you have to safeguard and make sure that it doesn't become definitively tameh. That's the Mishnah in challah. And the Gemara gives a brief explanation, but we said it outside already. Ashlo gilgalatasa betumah chula ninhu. So the Gemara's brief explanation of the Mishnah, exactly what we just said. It's as if I read ahead. So tasa betumah chula ninhu. So the Gemara explains, because flour and water before they're mixed, it's just regular chula ninhu. Mutu legrum tumah lechulin shebe'eretz Yisrael. And to make something tameh, chul and tameh, in Eretz Yisrael, that's fine. That's not a concern. Misha Gilgala, however, once the flour and water were mixed together, tasa b'tahara, then it must be done in state of tahara. Why? Because chul and atul and l'chala k'chala damo. So we have our principle, which is that, did I separate the chala yet? No. Is the chala latently inside the dough? Yes. So as a result of that, so you have to treat the dough like chala. The principle is chulin hatvulin l'chala, that if I have chulin where the chala is latently there inside, we treat the whole dough like chala. V'asa l'grom tumah l'chala, and of course you can't cause tumah to chala. Okay, that is a simple and correct explanation of the Mishnah in chala. Good. Tana. With that stated, we now turn to the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. V'chalta t'luya lo ochlim lo sorfim beis v'safik amr b'safik chala. The Braisa says that a chala in the state of Suffolk, so what do we do with this challah? So the answer is no and no. No, we don't eat it, meaning Kohanim can't eat it, because obviously it's a Suffolk. But no, you can't burn it. When Truma becomes Tamei, so you burn the Truma. But over here, we don't know for sure that it's Tamei. Well, it's only a possibility. And so therefore, not to be burned. Be'ez a Suffolk, Amru b'Suffolk challah. And they said it specifically with Suffolk challah. That last line of the Braisa, that's a tricky line. You know, they talked about Safik Challah. Well, what else do you think we're talking about? Meaning we're talking about Challah. So, of course, we're talking about Safik Challah. What did that last line mean? Gemara's next question.
You don't burn it, you don't eat it. What do you do with it?
Limbo. You just leave it in this state of Safik until it rots, and then once it rots, you dispose of it.
What's wrong with burning it? What's the
deal? Because you can't destroy it. You can't destroy Truma. You can't destroy Truma. That's true by Truma. So by Chala, it's dough. So if there is a way for Kohanim to benefit from it during the burning, which I can't creatively think of a way to do so, so in principle, the answer would be yes. Mm-hmm. But because this is a Suffolk, so you can't do either. Can't eat it, can't burn it. So my Suffolk Chala. Now this last line of the Braisa, what does that mean? Gemara goes and explains. Abayver avadami tabay shalo tamar ba'u chachos. Shaninu kemoshne shvilim dasam chulin gureda nami mitamu. So we're not talking about a classic example of suffix. The classic example of suffix is two pathways where in one pathway there is tumas mace, or it doesn't have to be tumas mace, but it could be any tumah. One pathway has tumas mace, the other pathway does not. I know one of the pathways for sure has tumah. I don't know which pathway, or I know which one, but I forgot which pathway I walked down. Either way, this is a classic scenario of suffix. But this is not a suffix that's limited to the world of challah. This is suffix true by any scenario. And so under those circumstances, that's not what the Braisa here is making reference to, because the Braisa wouldn't conclude by saying, Eiz a suffix, Amru suffix challah. A suffix that's unique to challah. Well, so the classic suffix, obviously, is not unique to challah. What is a suffix that's unique to challah? So Ela B'Nishan, so we're talking about a case of leaning. What does that mean? Did not. So first, let's learn a Mishnah together. The Mishnah over here is in Zavin, right? In Seder Taharos. We're in Seder Taharos, but we're learning Masechta Nida. The Mishnah in Zavin reads as follows: Ditnan Zav v'tar shayu porkin min hachamor or o to'anin. So you have two people who are either loading or unloading a donkey. Two people are, one is a Zav, and the other one's the Tahor. Okay. Now, in terms of the Tumma Zav, we all know. A Zav is an Avatumma, right? The man had a discharge, had not a seminal discharge, another type of discharge. If the Zav and the Tahor were to make contact with one another, so then the Tahor would, of course, be Tummy. Zav is an Avatumma, and that transmission of Tumma can occur through contact. But we're not talking here about actual contact. What are we talking about over here? Or what is the concern? The concern is where one supports the weight of the other. If you were to pick up a Zav, or conversely, if the Zav were to pick you up, so that also is a form of transmission of Tumma. Now, it's called Tumas Heset. It's similar to what we discussed just a couple days ago regarding the Nida, who is picking up the earthenware jug, where that also is Tumas Heset. We're using the same terminology, Heset, but in this context, it means one supports the weight of the other. Now, we know this. If the Zav was just simply to pick up the Tahor, or conversely, the Tahor picks up the Zav, even without contact, meaning you pick them up on a chair. So the halacha is, there is a transmission of Tumma. That's clear. Here, just give me a second. Here, however, we're talking about where they didn't touch each other, and they didn't really pick each other up. What they were doing was loading and unloading. And if what they're loading and unloading were very heavy boxes, there is a concern that maybe one supported the weight of the other while they were moving these large packages. So if what they're loading and unloading is really heavy boxes, so then we have to be concerned, we don't know for sure, concerned that maybe they support each other's weight. Now, in terms of this chashash, it's a really light chashash. It's a light concern. And so therefore, for B'nai HaKnesses, right, literally members of the shul, in this context, you can see the Rashi. The B'nai HaKnesses, Rashi writes, Tahorin Levnei HaKnesses, Ochlin Chuleihem B'Tahara, Shein Zeh Hesek Gamer V'Chol Shekein Shesafiku. So if we're talking about members of the shul who are eating truma, not real truma, but like we described moments earlier in the daf, practice truma, meaning chulin shenaso ataris truma. So for that kind of truma, it's not real truma, just practice truma. And so for that, this concern isn't going to generate any kind of tumma. It's only going to generate tumma for actual truma, because the concern over here is it's less than a suffix. It's more subtle than a suffix. It's not that we definitively know that there was tumma on one path, and you just don't know which path you walk down. This is a concern of, I may have supported his weight, or he may have supported my weight while we were loading and unloading heavy items. Okay.
Rabbi, why do they call it Hesed? It's Masa, right? It's lifting. Why is it called Hesed?
It's Hesed because, yeah, in other words, yes. And other, right, by Nevela, for example, we have Tumas Masa. Hesed over here, it's the terminology used for Zav. Okay, fine. So, what do we have right now? We have a Mishnah Chala. We have a Braisa that talks about suffix that's specific to Chala. And now we have given voice to that Braisa. We've explained the Braisa. The Gemara now continues. Why are we here? Meaning, that's a great question. Like, what is all this bringing us to? So, just a little more patience, because the Gemara is about to formulate a question. It's just that all these pieces of information are necessary just so that we could put together a question. Question ultimately is going to go back on Rav Huna. Now, we said that if I have latent truma or latent challah inside the dough, meaning once the water and the flour are mixed together, so now that is what's called chulin hatvulin lechallah. The challah is latently inside, and therefore we're going to treat the entire challah as if it were challah. Sorry. We're going to treat the entire dough as if it were challah. Fine. V'atanya, the Gemara now quotes the following braisa. Isha she tvulas yom. A woman is a tvul yom. Meaning, she was a simple example, she was a zava gadola. She counted her 7 clean days, Shivnakim. She then tovel in the mikvah. And after toveling in the mikvah, now she's what's called an halacha tful yom. She toveled in the mikvah, which means that she is almost tahor. She needs Harav Shemesh. And truth be told, is the example that I just gave. She doesn't just need Harav Shemesh. She also needs to bring karbanos on day 8. But from the time that she toveled in the mikvah until the evening, she's what's called an halacha tful yom. It could be a simpler example. She touches sheretz. Okay, that's a simpler example. And by touching a sheretz, now she toveled in the mikvah. And tonight she'll be tahor legamrei. Okay, good. Now, between having her toveled in the mikvah and nightfall, so the tefillah removed some of her tumah, but not all of her tumah. In general, in halacha, what is the status of a tful yom? It's comparable to a sheni. Okay, so with this in mind, she now wants to make dough and separate challah. So obviously it's going to be challenging, because when she separates the challah, she is a sheni. She's gonna disqualify the challah. She'll pass the challah. The challah will be a shlishi. Challah and truma are equivalent. And so by truma, we know that truma can become a shlishi and becomes pasul. So too, challah can become a shlishi and can become pasul. So what the Braisov is going to do is explain to her how to navigate so that she can make dough, she can separate challah, and not be metame the challah. That's pretty interesting. How did she do it? Braisa says, Lasha se'isa. So what she'll do is she'll prepare the dough. V'kotza heimena chalasa. She will separate challah, but she won't call it challah. U'minichasa b'chefisha o b'anchusa. She puts it on a flat beam, on a flat board. Why would she do that? As a reminder. Because the flat beam is not mekabel tumah, it's pshute kliyetz. And so therefore, by putting it on the flat board, she's reminding herself that this is something that is different and strange. Umakefes, wait, just give me a second. Umakefes v'kori l'ashem. And now what she's going to do is she's going to take the dough that she separated. She then is going to put it next to the other doughs, right? This is called min hamukaf. Rashi says that when you separate trumos and maestros, it has to be done from something which is proximate. And so over here, the word mukaf, Rashi says, means it's next to. Mitzvah litrom in a mukaf, writes Rashi. It's a mitzvah to do it in this manner. So she puts the beam near, proximate to the actual dough, and korel Hashem. And now, without touching it, she calls it chala. Mimnei shi shlishi v'shlishi tar b'chulin. And right now, it is only a shlishi, meaning when she handled it in its chulin state. So at worst, it's going to be a shlishi, but shlishi b'chulin, it's not an issue. Because shlishi is only a problem when you get to truma, or when you get to karban. We're talking about truma right now. So chal and truma are equivalent. So we're talking about truma. So it's not a problem in its chulin state. Oh. Now, hopefully at this point in time, you realize, wait one second. So I understand that she didn't touch the chala prior to the kriyas Hashem. She did touch the challah prior to the kriya shem, and only after the kriya shem did she not handle the challah. That's all true. On the other hand, she was handling the dough while it had latent challah inside of it. Right. And the principle, the premise that started off this whole discussion was chulin shenasa al chulin hatvulin lechallah is considered lechallah, and that's the Gemara's question. Iyamar chulin tvulin lechallah kechallah dami ha tamnisu. Wasn't she metame it when she handled the dough because of the latent challah inside? Amar Abai kol shavadim metame chulin gazru al sfeiko mishum chulin tvun lechallah. So Abai's response goes like this: when it creates vade tamam, so like the example of a zav that we saw previously. So under those circumstances, so kol shavadim metame chulin, so gazru al sfeiko mishum chulin tvun lechallah. So then the suffix is going to permeate into even latent challah. V'ay tvul yom, but as far as the example of tvul yom is concerned, kevet l'matamya v'ade chulin, look, our tvul yom is not going to be matame chulin. Meaning, that's just the nature of a tvul yom. A tvul yom is only a sheni. A sheni does not affect and transmit the tumah over to chulin. So over here, the gzeira d'rabbanan is not going to be in play, because even in her state of a tvul yom, she's not going to be matame challah. Sorry, she's not going to be metame chulin. And since she's not going to be metame chulin, so lo gazra la mishum chulin tvul lechala, so the chachamim were not go there on the latent chala contained there in the chulin. Okay, so what we have now done through quoting the Mishnah chala, quoting the Mishnah Zavin, is that we constructed now a number of principles. Principle number one is that chulin hatfulin lechala is considered like chala. As long as there is latent chala inside of a dough, we're going to treat the entire dough like chala. That was the principle that we saw based on the Mishnah and chala. On the other hand, we did quote the Mishnah of Zavin, and we also quoted the Braisa regarding the woman preparing her dough, and because she's a tful yom, she's separating the chala. And what we got from those other sources, the Mishnah and the Braisa, is that we limited the principle of chulin hatvulin lechala. And the limitation of the principle is that chulin tvulin lechala is only under the circumstance where you're going to actually be able to be metame the chulin itself. But if you can't be metame the chulin itself, so then we don't apply the principle of chulin hatvulin lechala. That is what we have gotten from all these sources. With all that stated, now, finally, the Gemara is going to construct its question. The question now is set because we have gotten all the principles down. Now, the Gemara says like this. You know, when it comes to the Meis Leis, because that's obviously our discussion. Now, the Meis Leis is the retroactive 24 hours of the Nida. Is she going to be Metame Chulin those retroactive 24 hours? The answer is absolutely yes. Of course. Meaning the Chachamim goes there, that in those last 24 hours, she's going to be a Nida. And so therefore, Nida's Metame everything. She's an Avatoma. And that Avatoma is retroactive 24 hours. So she's a Metame, not only Kachim, not only Truma, but Chulin as well. And so that means to say then, that based on the principles that we learned together, not only is she going to be Metame Chulin, but it goes without saying that she's also going to be Metame Chulin, Atzvulin, Chala. If there's latent Chala inside of it, she's also going to be Metame as well. And the Gemara says, "The Amar Mar Kibla Minei Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Bechulin Shenasu Ataras Kodesh V'lo Bechulin Shenasu Ataras Truma." So, and the Gemara says, "Now remember what we said at the beginning of Shir this morning regarding Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that a Nida Meisleis is going to be Matame Truma, and she's going to be Matame Kachim as well. Either Brisa, right? This is the very beginning of Shir this morning. The Brisa that says Kodesh V'avalo Truma." That was only talking about practice Kodesh, practice Truma. Meaning, but that's not talking about actual Kodesh and actual Truma. That's what we said earlier. Comes out now that Anida Me'es Leis is not going to be Metame, practice Truma. The Gemara's thinking right now is that if she's not going to be Metame, practice Truma, she's also not going to be Metame, actual Truma. Let me say it better. If she's not going to be Metame, practice Truma, she's not going to be Metame, Chulin, Hatvulin Lechala, Chulin that has latent Chala inside of it. Right now, the Gemara is creating an equivalency between practice Truma and Chulin that has latent Chala inside. That's the equivalency of the Gemara. And that's why the Gemara thinks right now that we have somewhat of a contradiction. But the Gemara says we have no contradiction. Hasam la psicha bu Truma, hacha psicha bu Truma. So, number one, distinction number one. You can't compare practice truma to chulin hatvul nechala. Chulin hatvul nechala is the real McCoy. Meaning, it's true it's only latent chala that's inside the dough, but still, it's latent real chala that's inside the dough. When we separate the chala, that is not just practice, that's real chala. So the latent chala contained there in the dough is the real deal. Masha'en kein, if we're just talking about practice truma, so it's practice. And it's not real truma. Granted that for most halachas, it has all the strictures, all the stringencies of chala and truma, but vis-a-vis this particular halacha, meisleis, it doesn't. That is one way to make a simple distinction between chulin hatvul nechala versus chulin shenasa al taharas hatruma. Ibai Sema, the Gemara also points out, hanach meisleis derabanan. Also on top of all that, consider, what kind of tumas were we describing? The tumah tvul yom, the tumah of zavin. Meaning these are bona fide tumas. When we're talking about the tumah meis la'es, it is a bona fide tumah. But a bona fide tumah as a rabbinic stringency. The Gemara describes it as a din derabanan. And being that it's a rabbinic stringency, so the rabbis have abilities within the stringencies to also create leniencies. Notably, the leniency of chulin shenasa ataras hatruma. The Chachamim can create a leniency under those circumstances. So the Gemara says, the din of Me'es Leis is a din de Rabbanan, so therefore the Chachamim can be maker. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. Let us continue. We are now up to the second Mishnah of our Masechta, and we're still talking about the topic of retroactive Tumah for the Nida. We already saw in the first Mishnah three opinions, Shammai, Hillel, and the Chachamim. The Mishnah over here continues, Rabbi Eliezer Amar Abanashim, Dayin Shaitan. Rabbi Eliezer says that this idea that a woman is only Tamei Nida from the point where she sees the discharge going forward, and we don't move it back retroactively, is limited only to four different women. One is the Basula, two is the Muberes, three is the Menika, and four is the Zekena. Each one of them are going to be explained in detail, so we're going to wait just a moment to explain each one of them. I'm Rabbi Yeshua, ani lo shamati ala Basula. Rabbi Yeshua says, I heard this halacha, but I only heard it vis-a-vis a Basula and not any of these other women. Aval halacha ka Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah throws in a really interesting line. The Mishnah paskins the halacha. Now that's unusual. We don't see that in Mishnayos. We see positions being recorded in the Mishnayos. We don't see a Mishnah taking a position on who the halacha follows like. We're going to come back, bookmark that point in the Mishnah. We're coming back to it. Ezuhi Besula. And now the Mishnah is going to explain all the women that we described earlier in the Mishnah. Number one, the Besula Koshlo Rasa Dami Ameha Afa Pishinesua. A Besula over here is not the classic version that we normally describe what a Besula is. In this context, Besula means a woman who has simply never had her menstrual cycle start yet. And even though she's married, if she never saw her menstrual cycle begin, so she is what halachically is called the Besula. That means the first time she sees blood, we do not assume that the blood was there retroactively. Number two, Meuberes, the woman who's pregnant. Mishiyodea Ubra. When pregnancy is detected. Right back then, right? They don't have the fancy equipment that we have nowadays. Back then, how do we know a woman was pregnant? So 3 months, 3 months into the pregnancy, she's starting to show. What about the fact that already once she conceives, she's going to stop bleeding? The Gemara does not mention that. It sounds like in the time of the Gemara, that wasn't necessarily so. In of itself, a really interesting discussion in terms of has the nature of women changed regarding when they stop menstruating at the beginning of pregnancy. Okay, but in the meantime, however, Mishiyodea Ubra. Number three, the Meinika, the woman's nursing, Ashitikmos Bena, when she weans her child, meaning nursing is nursing. And that's easy to explain. A woman who's nursing, so she's considered Misulakis Damim, she does not have a menstrual cycle, and so therefore, if in fact she sees blood, it's not the tumah is not going to go back retroactive 24 hours. Nasna Bena Leminika. Now, the Mishnah over here discusses the following scenarios. One, let's say she doesn't nurse her child, she gives it to a wet nurse to nurse the child. Two, Gimalto. Or maybe she wasn't interested in nursing for, back then, standard period of time for nursing was 2 years. So she weaned the child off earlier. Or three, Omeis, or Rachmanis, the child died. In any one of those circumstances now, she's not actually nursing. So Remeir Omer, Metame Meis Eis, so Remeir says that, okay, because she is, whatever for whatever reason, the Mishnah gave us three different reasons in terms of why she stopped nursing. But for whatever reason, if she stopped nursing, Remeir says she's no longer in the category of Meinika. And so therefore, if she bleeds, so then the tumah is going to go back 24 hours. And the Chachamim Amrim Dai Shaita, and the Chachamim say no. By virtue of the fact that she, at one point in time, she nursed, or at least she was she was potentially able to nurse, so that's going to create the Siluk Damim of the 2 years, and she'll be a Meinika. And finally, number four, Ezu Zikena, Kol Shavro Alash, Gimel Onus, Samach Liziknasa. So as she's approaching the age of menopause, and she missed three menstrual cycles, now she is categorically in this category of Zikena, and if she were to bleed again after that point in time, so then she would not go retroactively back 24 hours for her tumah. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Kol Isha Shavro La Gimel Onus Ayi Shaita. Rabbi Eliezer takes a very lenient position. A woman who has missed three menstrual cycles, any woman who has missed three menstrual cycles, is going to be in this category of Mesulakas Damim and Ayi Shaita. And that means to say that we're not going to go back retroactive 24 hours. Rabbi Yossi Omer Meuberes Menika Shavro La Gimel Onus Ayi Shaita. Rabbi Yossi takes the position that regarding of the four women that we described earlier in the Mishnah, only two of them, the woman pregnant, the woman nursing, and only in a circumstance where she missed three menstrual cycles. Then and only then, Dain Shaitan, we're not going to go back retroactive 24 hours. Uva Meramar Dain Shaita, Beri Rishona. Now this status of Daishaita, where we're not going to push back the Tumah clock 24 hours, is only for her first discharge when she was in the status of Mesulekas Damim. Ava b'shniyah metameh meisleis. But for her second discharge, so for that, after first discharge, she is now removed from the category of Mesulekas Damim. She is what's called a regular woman, and so therefore her second discharge is going to go back 24 hours. However, the Mishnah puts in one more caveat. V'im rasa rishonah me'onis ha'vashniyah da'ishaita. If the first discharge, after being put in a status of Mesulekas Damim, if the first discharge occurred because of ones, something that was not in her control, she was given a great pachat, she was given a great scare, and she discharged as a result of that. For external forces, she discharged the first time, that doesn't qualify, that doesn't count, and so therefore the second time, she's still going to be in the status of Daishaita. Okay, that was a lot of information given to us in the Mishnah, a lot of opinions that were offered. The Gemara starts off by quoting a Braisa, Tanya Amalo Rebbe Lazal Rebbe Yeshua Atalo Shamate Ani Shamati. Now, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are going back and forth. Who receives the status of Daishaita? Rabbi Eliezer says four women. Rabbi Yeshua says, I only heard one. So Rabbi Eliezer in the Braisa has strong words for Rabbi Yeshua. And he says, Ata lo shamati, ani shamati. Look, I know you only heard one. I heard four. And Ata lo shamati, ala achas, vani shamati, harbe. You heard one, I heard many. Ein omrim lamisha lo raza, chodesh yavavi, yaid ala lamisha ra'uhu. Right, kiddush ha-chodesh. You see the new moon, you go and testify. Now, if it happens to be that you didn't see the new moon, i.e. you were indoors, i.e. it was a cloudy night, and you didn't see the moon, so now, who's going to go to Yerushalayim and testify about the seeing of the new moon? The person who didn't see, or the person who saw? And right. And Rabbi Eliezer is basically saying, look, you didn't hear it, but don't tell me something you didn't hear, right? If you, okay. And by the way, the moon analogy, I'm thinking, I didn't see this anywhere, but I'm thinking of the Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah, right? And the great debate that takes place regarding which day was Yom Kippur. But anyway, call him after Rabbi Eliezer, are you osin ka Rabbi Yeshua? Now, during the days of Rabbi Eliezer, so who do they pass on the halacha like? So they pass on the halacha like Rabbi Yeshua. Lach b'dir social Rabbi Eliezer, but after Rabbi Eliezer died, hichzer Rabbi Yeshua, so darvali yoshna ka Rabbi Eliezer, then they pass on the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer. If you're processing this quickly, I know I'm speaking quickly. If you're processing this quickly, so you realize how strange that is. During the lifetime of Rabbi Eliezer, they would not rule like him. Oh, but after he died, then they would rule like him. Huh? So b'chayav my time alam yishum to Rabbi Eliezer shemuti. Who the reason why they didn't rule like him while he was alive is because he was a shemuti. The Gemara over here famously tells us, everybody knows this, that Rabbi Eliezer was a shemuti. The part that we need chazara on is, what does that mean? Okay, good. So we know what to call him. Rabbi Eliezer is a shemuti. What does that mean? So Rashi over here writes, an hour daf, that shemuti means that he was put in cherem, based on the famous episode in the Gemara Bava Metzia. Tanur da'achnai, right, the oven, a debate, whether it's tamei, whether it's tahor. And it sounds, he for sure argued with the chachamim, and it sounded like he held his ground, even though the Chachamim told him that's not the halacha. And the Chachamim put him in Cherem. And Shemuti over here comes from the word Shamta, which means that he was placed in Cherem. And so because he was placed in Cherem, so therefore while he was alive, any of his positions were not going to be accepted. Visavar, and now back to the Gemara. And oh, by the way, let's put these in parentheses. Tosfos over here disagrees with Rashi in terms of what the definition of Shemuti is. See the Taptosos for his opinion, Rabbi Natan's position, of what exactly a shemuti means. Now let's go back to the Gemara. So, shemuti, v'savar i'avdin kavaseh b'chad avdin kavaseh b'achrenaisa. So, look, once we start passing like Rabbi Eliezer, people will say, oh, okay, the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer over here. I guess his position is normally held. U'mishum kvodeh Rabbi Eliezer l'masinan machinan behu. While he was alive, so because we had such honor for Rabbi Eliezer, and yes, it's a subtlety. It's a balance over here. On one hand, he was placed on Cherem. At the very same time, also, honor was accorded to Rabbi Eliezer, because he is Rabbi Eliezer. So they had that balance of, he was in Cherem, we still have cover for him, right? It's nice. It's the subtleties and complexities of life. And here's a wonderful example. So, because of that, we couldn't tell everybody, because of the cover that we have for Rebbe Eliezer, hey, only here do we follow like him, but we don't follow like him over here. Yeah. So therefore, while he was alive, we unilaterally said, we don't fall like Rabbi Eliezer. But after his death, where you still have to worry about the kavod of a gadol after he dies. The Gemara is not saying otherwise. The Gemara is just simply saying that we could announce to the world that after he died, the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer over here, but not like him over here. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer Zashmuti, the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer on the issue of a woman and the status of Me'es La'es and Dayan Shaitan, like we just learned together. Are there other areas in Shas where the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer? I'm glad you asked. The Gemara now, that's the rest of today's daf. I'm Rabbi Yudah Mishma, halacha Rabbi Eliezer Ba'arba. So in four areas in halacha, the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. Chada da Amran. So number one is our Mishnah here in Idah. Count that as number one. Idah, number two. Hamakche kamati shafeh v'teizava Me'es La'es. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer v'halacha kidvarav. A Mishnah that comes up later in the Masechta. We're going to see it 1 month from today. Not exactly. But about a month from today. Mm-hmm. The Mishnah over there describes the following scenario. A woman is giving birth, and at the same time, she's also in her Yemei Ziva. Now, just to imagine, that's a little bit strange to envision. In order for her to be in her Yemei Ziva, that means that 11 days ago, sometime within the last 11 days, she was a Nida while she was pregnant. Now, I know that's strange, but for the time being, let's just put the facts on the table. And so now she's in her Yemei Ziva. Now, a regular woman who bleeds three consecutive days during her Yemei Ziva is a Zava Gadola. She, however, is bleeding during her Yemei Ziva, but it's also at the conclusion of pregnancy. And it could very well be that the bleeding is not as a result of her having Ziva discharge. It could just simply be a result of pregnancy. And so therefore, she's not going to be deemed a Zava Gadola. What the Mishnah there is describing, it's a bit complicated, a bit, but basically, if we can identify and label that bleeding as Zava bleeding and not labor bleeding, so then she is going to be a Zava Gadola. That means that after she gives birth, she's going to have to bring one set of karbanos for her being a Yoledes. She's also going to need to bring another set of karbanos for having been a Zava Gadola. What period of abatement do we need for her between the 3 days of consecutive bleeding and the actual delivery of the baby in order to say that this bleeding was of a bleeding? The answer is 24 hours abatement of the bleeding and the pain. If she has that, so then this bleeding is now labeled Zava bleeding, not labor bleeding, and therefore she's a Zava Gadola. Vidach the Gemara quotes a third area. Hazava Hazava Shabbat Gatzman Yom Rishon Matzatar, Yom Shvi Matzatar, Ushar Yamim Lo Batko. A woman who is a Zava Gadola, or for that matter, a man as well, a Zava. Zav Gadol, where in order for them to become Torah, they have to go through 7 clean days, Shiva Nekiyim. And in principle, they should be doing a Bedika every one of those 7 days. And they don't. And they only did a Bedika on day 1 and day 7. So, as terms of Shiva Nekiyim, are we going to count that as, look, they got the bookends. So maybe the Bedika was done, not in the best manner, but it was done, it was acceptable. Or maybe no. Meaning because they didn't do a Bedika on days 2 through 6, so there is a possibility that maybe bleeding occurred anytime between 2 and 6. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Hare Eilu Becheskes Tahara. So Rabbi Eliezer's position is, it's okay. Not the best, not Lechatchila, but it's okay. The Bedika works if it's done on day 1 and day 7. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ein Lahem Ela Yom Rishon V'Yom Shvi Bovad. Rabbi Yeshua takes a position that is really difficult to understand. And he says, look, day 1 counted as a day of Bedika. Day 7 counted as a day of Bedika. How many more days does she need to do afterwards? She needs to do 5 more days. So we'll count 1, we'll count 7, but any of the interim days we're not going to count, so therefore 5 more days. That's really hard to understand. It's really difficult. If one and 7 are counting, so that means that the days in between should count as well. And if we're worried that maybe she bled any time in between, that should disqualify day 1. The Shiva Nekim have to be 7 consecutive days. So admittedly, Rabbi Yeshua's position is difficult to understand. And Rabbi Kiva Amar Ein Lahem Ela Yom Shvi'i Bovad. And Rabbi Kiva says, look, you don't know what happened between 1 and 7. She didn't do a Bedika between 1 and 7. There's a concern that maybe she bled any time between 1 and 7. She did a Bedika on 7, so you know how many clean days she has now? She has 1 clean day, day 7. And now she'll have to do another 6 days. Vitanya the Gemara on this quotes the following brisa. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Armim Nirin, Divrei Rabbi Elazar, and Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. If I'm weighing these positions, Rabbi Eliezer certainly makes more sense than that of the position of Rabbi Yeshua. V'divrei Rabbi Kiva, midivrei kulan. However, if I'm balancing Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva makes a lot more sense than Rabbi Eliezer. Aval halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. But then the Braisa concludes, and you know who the halacha falls like? Like Rabbi Eliezer. That is the third time the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, and number four. V'idach d'nan achori kelim shenitmu b'mashkin. If I have the back of a kli that becomes tame with a mashke. Now, the back of a kli becoming tame, what? So, and on top of that, I'll add one more what. And a liquid being metame a kli, our second, what? These phenomena are strange phenomena. Number one, a kli becomes tame, it's binary. Either the entire kli becomes tame, or none of it becomes tame. That's curiosity number one. Curiosity number two, liquids are not metame a kli. A kli can only become tame from an av hatuma. And a liquid, right, like water, so it became tame from an av hatuma, meaning the liquid itself is a rishon. So why should a liquid be metame a kli? So those are two curiosities. And meanwhile, if a liquid comes into contact with the outside of a kli, the outside of a kli becomes tame. So, obviously, that demands an explanation. Hold off on the explanation for just a moment. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mitamen es amashkin vein poslan es ha'ochlin. So, vis-a-vis the degree of tum of the back of the kli, so it's going to be mitame mashkin, but it's not going to disqualify food. Mitamen es amashkin v'afilu chulin. Now, in terms of what it's going to be mitame, the back of the kli, it'll be mitame liquids, even chulin liquids. Vein poslan es ha'ochlin v'afilu truma. And it's not going to disqualify food, and incorporated in that is even shuma. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer regarding the degree of tuma of achorei hakli, the back of the kli. When I say back, by the way, just to be clear, I mean the outside of the kli. Rabbi Yoshua Amr metamim samashkin and posel nesauchlin, and Rabbi Yoshua says it's metamim mashkin and posel sauchlin. I'm Rabbi Yoshua kavacham, and Rabbi Yoshua says, look, don't you see this logically? Umatvul yom. Let's compare now. The tful yom to the achorei hakli. When it comes to a tful yom, she'en metame mashke, chulin. Now, tful yom cannot be metame, the liquid chulin. This is the second time today that we're discussing the halacha of a tful yom. Somebody who told from the mikvah but is waiting for Erev Shemesh. They have the status of a sheni. Is a sheni metame chulin? The answer is no. So, e'en metame mashke chulin, posa ochle truma. And meanwhile, our tful yom is in fact going to disqualify truma. So now, that's the truth by tful yom. And so now the back of a kli, which you're saying is metame mashkin, if it's going to be metame mashkin chulin, of course it's going to pass truma. So don't you see it logically? And Rabbi Eliezer's defense is not comparable. You don't put tful yom and achore kelim side by side. Tful yom is a bona fide truma da araisa. The achorei kli is a din derabanan. And now we get to go back and explain that the achorei kli, there are two curiosities, and now we're going to understand both curiosities. One, only the outside of the kli is tamei. Two, mashke is going to be metamei a kli. The Gemara now explains. The entire institution of achorei kli is a din derabanan. Demid araisa ein ocha metamei kli, vein mashke metamei kli. So you know that in a Torah, neither food nor mashke are going to be metamei kli. V'rabanan degazer gzera. And the Chachamim made a gzera. Why would the Chachamim make a gzera that when liquid comes into contact with the kli, the back of the kli becomes tamei? So the answer is because mishum mashkin dezav v'zava. So it has to do with the fact that secretions of a zava, the spit that comes out of the mouth of a zav, it's a liquid and it's an avatuma. So the Chachamim want us to condition ourselves to realize that when I have tamei liquid coming into contact with the kli, because one of those liquids can be the secretion of a zav, so the Chachamim made a blanket gzera that all tamei liquids coming into contact with the kli is going to be matam of the kli. Mashkin da lulun kabel tuma gazur bei rabbanan. Ochlin deina lulun kabel tuma lo gazur bei rabbanan. Why did the Chachamim limit the gzera to mashkin, not to foods? Because look, when it comes to liquids, liquids have a higher sensitivity to tuma than that of foods. Why? Because liquids can be machshir. Liquids can create a environment of tuma. They make food susceptible to tuma. So,
well, liquids, water can make a tar too.
That's true. That's correct. And as far as achari kelim are concerned, so why did they make a kula d'nan? Klishin emem achor v'mashkan achor v'tameh tocha azno agno yadav tahorin. So, and in terms of a kli becoming tame through a mashke, through mashke which is tame, so the so its interior is going to be tame, its interior is going to be tahor, its exterior is going to be tame. So nitma tocha kula tame. If the interior becomes tame, the entire kli becomes tame. Now the reason why that is because the chachamim wanted to basically give us a reminder that this tuma is only a tuma de rabbanan. This explains curiosity number two. Why, when mashkin come into contact with the outside of a kli, only the outside becomes tameh? It's basically a tip, a tell of the chachamim. This is only a tuma de rabbanan, not a tuma de araisa. And in this area in halacha, now the fourth area of halacha, the halacha follows like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. By the way, note that we have in our gemara the four times in Shas halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. Observation: these four areas of halacha are all tuma related. Every one of them. The question of when a woman is meisleis, that was number one. Number two, a woman giving birth and having three consecutive days of bleeding. Is that blood coming out, zava blood or labor blood? That halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, that's tuma tahara. Number three, the bedika of a zava or a zava during Shiva Nikiyam, where she only checked days 1 and 7. How many more days does she need to check? That's the tuma tahara discussion. And obviously, achorei hakli, coming into contact with a liquid and becoming tame externally but not internally, that too is a tuma tahara halacha. So the four times here are relevant to tuma and tahara.